open at Matthew chapter 2. If you're using one of the pew Bibles, that's on page 966. 966, Matthew chapter 2. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God who's inspired all Scripture. We thank you that you've caused all Scripture to be written for our benefit. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be with us as we look at this part of your Word. Please give us ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts to obey. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever been party to an awkward conversation? Maybe you've overheard one. So perhaps you were party to a conversation where that lady got congratulated on being pregnant, but she actually wasn't pregnant. Where do you go from there? It's a little bit tricky. Here are two awkward conversations that I have been a part of. I find these particularly awkward, and I felt kind of bad about it because I was also interested in the person. I was trying to get an update on how the person was going. So there was a time when I said to a person that I knew, "Oh, you know, how's your job going?" And that person said to me, "I got retrenched." I'm sorry to hear that. Where do you go from there? Another time I was speaking to another guy that I knew. I knew he was getting married. I said, "Oh, how's your fiance going?" And he said to me, "She broke off the engagement." I'm sorry to hear that. Where do you go from there? Awkward conversations. Maybe you've been involved in one. Maybe you have overheard one. This part of the Bible, Matthew chapter 2, starts off with a pretty awkward conversation. And the reason it's awkward is because the Magi, in verse 1, come to King Herod, and say to him, "Where's the one who's been born king of the Jews?" Essentially, what they're saying is, whoever's sitting on the throne, you're not the real king. We want to see the one who's been born king of the Jews. We're looking for the real king. And notice how the Magi put it as well. It's the one who has been born king of the Jews, not the one who will become, you know, in due time, the king of the Jews, but the one who has been born king of the Jews. Where is he? The king is already here. The title belongs to him. And notice also that these Magi, they've come from the east, they've come from a great distance to pay homage to him, to worship him, to pay respect to this newborn king. King Herod gets it in verse 3. He understands what's going on, and so does the rest of Jerusalem. And the rest of Jerusalem is troubled, as King Herod was troubled, because they had a fair idea of what Herod was like, and they also had a fair idea of what Herod would do in response to this rival king. The Jewish historian Josephus tells us what King Herod was like. You can read about this in Antiquities of the Jews if you're interested in that kind of a thing. King Herod was extremely paranoid. He thought that people were plotting against him, and so he had those people that he thought were doing the plotting executed. Once he'd killed all the contenders for the throne to cement his position, he then went on to murder the people that he thought might have been desiring to take his position as king. And among those he murdered were his wife and two of his sons. Jerusalem is troubled, Jerusalem is disturbed, because they have a fair idea of what King Herod is going to do in this kind of a situation. You see, this baby is a threat to King Herod. A baby, of all things. A baby is a threat to King Herod. You see, King Herod knew that he was a pretender to the throne. He knew that he had no legitimate claim to be the king of the Jews. He wasn't a descendant of King David. He wasn't even a descendant of Jacob, a descendant of Israel. He was actually a descendant of Esau. Herod actually paid the Romans to be made king. And so Herod was threatened by the real king. the Lord Jesus. But he's not the only pretender to the throne. Herod isn't the only pretender to the throne. We also are pretenders to the throne, not the throne of the King of the Jews, but we are pretenders insofar as we pretend to be God. We live life as if we're the ones who are in charge, as if we are the boss rather than God being the boss. Now, people do that in various kinds of ways. Some people do it in a very outright and defiant way. You know, they say, oh, God doesn't exist. That's how some people pretend to be God. But other people pretend to be God by denying God's rightful claim over their lives. And so they say things like, I'll do things my own way, I'll be my own boss, I don't have time for God right now, I know better than God. But whether it's rejecting God in that very outright way, or whether it's marginalizing him by saying, you know, I don't have time for God right now, either way, we pretend to be God. And God won't leave things like that, because God is God and we're not. And when you rebel against the king in rejecting him, that's an act of treason. Now, in this passage, we see two responses to the king, to the one who's been born king of the Jews. Did you notice that King Herod tells a lie in verse 8? King Herod tells a lie in verse 8. He's got no intention whatsoever of worshipping the newborn king. All Herod sees is a rival to the throne. He sees an enemy. He sees an enemy who needs to be killed. It's why the Magi were warned to not return to Herod in verse 12. So that's the first response to the king. But there's a second response to the king, and that's the response of the Magi who worship him. Now, these Magi, they were from the east, which tells us that, amongst other things, they weren't Jews. The Magi were not Jews, they were Gentiles, they were non-Jews, but they came to worship the king, to pay him respect, to give him his due, and they give him gifts that are fit for a king. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. The baby born on that first Christmas, he's the King of the Jews. But he's more than that. If you're here on Sunday, you'll remember that Jesus is God in human form. And when Jesus grew to adulthood, when Jesus grew to manhood, he died on the cross to rescue sinners. That's how God deals with the sin, so that people who otherwise couldn't be friends with God can be friends with God when they trust in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And if we are to give Jesus his due, if we are to honour him as he's worthy of honour, if we're to worship him as he's worthy of worship, then our response is to trust him. It's to worship him as God, who is born, who died on a cross, who on the third day rose to life. Because who else but God, really, is worthy of worship? It's only God who's worthy of worship. So what about for us today? How do we respond to the birth of the king? Well, some people will continue to pretend. They'll continue to be pretenders, to pretend that Jesus stayed as a baby because, you know, babies are harmless, babies don't make claims on our lives. Babies aren't very scary in that respect. Some people will pretend that it's good for other people to be Christians, but it's really not something for me. I'm glad that there are Christians in the world, but I don't want to be one of them. Or some people might pretend that, well, I'm not against Jesus, I'm not opposed to him like some of those other people are, and that's okay. None of those responses will do. The only right way to respond to Jesus the King is to worship him, the one who is really King, because he's God, God in human form. So stop being a pretender. Submit to the rule of Jesus, the King, and put your trust in him alone. And rejoice in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice in the birth of the King and celebrate because the Saviour has been born. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we praise you for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is the Saviour. We thank you that he is the King. Lord God, we pray that you would help us to submit to his rule. Help us to put our trust in him, who is the King of the world. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.